Let's turn our Bibles to Acts 10 this morning, Acts chapter 10. I want to talk about this morning. I really feel a strong push from the Lord on talking about preaching on hosting through our interior world. Hosting through our interior world. We've been hosting a lot lately. The Lord's blessed us with a place out in Utah, and we've been hosting people out there the last few weeks. And the Lord's got a book. And, you know, when someone comes, we want them to, you know, to sign the book and put whatever their thoughts are in the book and everything. And everybody has been talking about how we host, how we host, how we host, how we host. And so I'm just asking the Lord, I'm like, Lord, what does really hosting look like? Because hosting is a lot bigger than arranging dinner and having people into your home and arranging activities, because we think that's hosting. And a lot of times we struggle with hosting because we're good with where we are. We're like, I don't need a lot of people in my life. And me and James have talked about this many times. You know, we're in the same boat that we've got. We're very content in our marriages. We're very content in our relationships. I know some people that they can't function if they're not surrounded by a group of people. And that's not us. But the reality is God has called us to come into this world and to be salt and to be light, to be leaven in a good way, not a negative way, but to be leaven in a good way, to come in and to change the world. And we cannot do that as long as we stay closed off in our life and our world. We can't do that when we just, you know, are content in ourself and our own little bubble. And so, you know, we've heard this phrase, Bill Johnson always says this, and I love this phrase. It says, when Jesus came, he brought his world with him. When Jesus comes, he brings his world with him. And he doesn't bring just his world in the sense of miracles and signs and wonders and all that. That's what the Jews wanted to see. But he brought his interior world, and he's what? The Prince of what? Peace. God is love. Those are the attributes of God. Those are the attributes of Jesus. And when he came, that's what he brought with him. It wasn't that I'm going to orchestrate these events and fulfill these prophecies and do this. You know, going back to the card the guy gave Lori is you forget what they said, you forget what they did, but you never forget the way they made you feel. And when there's a woman taken in the act of adultery and she's thrown at the feet of Jesus and she looks into his eyes, it wasn't an act, it wasn't something that he said, it was the way that he made her feel, value and love and acceptance. And so I want to look at this scripture and I want to talk about hosting through our interior world. And I want us to really inspect our lives and see how we host. How do we host the world? How do we host others? You know, Errol's got the youth at her house tonight, and there's going to be food, and it's a beautiful setting on the farm and all of this. Going to be, you know, great and all that. But at the end of the day, how does Alex Pope feel when she's in your presence? How do the different individuals feel? I can take Anthony fishing, but how does he feel when he's around me? What is he feeling in that? The fishing's fine, but how does he feel in that? And so I want us to talk about hosting through our interior world, and I want us to look and inspect our lives. We're looking at the story in Acts 10 of Peter's sheep vision, of the gospel being opened up to the Gentiles for the first time, We're looking at them receiving the Holy Spirit. We're looking at a man named Cornelius, which was a Roman officer, and but he was a believer. And as we look through this story, we see Peter going to Cornelius' house, but we have to ask the question, who is the host here? That's the notes that I made. Who was the host? Was it Cornelius or Peter? Both of them brought their interior world and invited the other to come into it. We can never truly host unless we open our interior world and invite others to come into it. Are you hosting from a standpoint of opening up your interior world? Because I'm convinced that's what the world is missing. Because they've heard our message. They have, you know, we've got to the point where we try to prove us right and them wrong. Well, what's accomplished out of that is they have to come into a place of faith through what they feel when the Holy Spirit confronts them about their life. That's the way you reach the world. That's how I got saved. Man, I knew what was right, and I knew what was wrong, and I knew what I was doing on Friday night was wrong. And I can't tell you how many times, Brother Pat, I've sat in an altar and cried as a teenager and get right back up the next Friday night and doing the same thing. And then coming in Sunday morning and feeling the same way. It wasn't an issue of me being wrong and them being right and all of that stuff, but it was when the love of Christ came and captured my heart. When he broke through religion and he broke through all the stuff and he captured my heart and I became smitten by him. And then there's no turning back after that. And it's coming, and I feel like we have tried to host the world in the sense that we come in and we're going to prepare you a good meal and we're going to entertain you, Christian, entertain you and try to get you to like us and keep coming back to us. And that's going to change your world instead of coming in and from our interior world of, I'm just undone in his presence. Yeah, he forgave me with a forgiveness when I couldn't forgive myself. He touched me in places that I thought were beyond touching, that were calloused or hardened or whatever. And he came in and he wrecked my world. And when I invite the world to come into that place, then that brings him to a place where he can come in and he can wreck their world. I've tried to show the world, boy, you can be blessed and be a Christian and all of this, or you can be cool and be a Christian, you know, try to convince them to accept Christianity and wrong and all of that. But a thing of you come in and you meet the one. You meet the one. I love my favorite scene of The Chosen on any of them, I believe, has to be when Nicodemus came and he was asking Mary Magdalene about Jesus and like, who is he? She said, I don't know. All I know is I was this way before I met him and I was this way after I met him and my life was changed because of him. That's kind of like the blind guy in the Bible. They came in and they said, well, who is he? And he says, I don't know. They went to his parents and said, who is he? And they said, we don't know. Go ask our son. He's a grown man. He's like, I don't know if he's a prophet. I don't know. But all I know is I was like this, and now I'm like this. And that's what the world needs, guys. They don't need to get on board with us and our Christian entertainment and all of that. And so I want us to look at these individuals. Let's look in Acts 10. Let's just start the story. We're going to be in verse 1. We're in the Passion Translation. It says, at that time there was a Roman military officer, Cornelius, who was in charge of 100 men stationed in Caesarea. He was the captain of the Italian regiment. Now, this is a, boy, what a contradiction. He was a Roman soldier. He was a captain of the Italian regiment. But it says he was a devout man of extraordinary character who worshiped God and prayed regularly together with all his family. He also had a heart for the poor and gave generously to help them. So we see this contradiction of a Roman soldier, a Roman captain that was from a pagan culture. They worshiped multiple gods, the Greeks, the Romans. And he comes from this, but yet it somewhere in this place, he found Yahweh. He found the God of the Jews. And like Rahab and like so many others, he came in a place of faith and he sought the Lord. And even though he wasn't on the first chosen list, God met him there and God loved him there and God touched his heart right there. So this guy came to this place of faith and he was walking in this place of I'm changed. It talked about how kind he was to the poor, how he generously gave to them. His good deeds and all these things are mentioned several times in this Acts 10. And he was a changed individual. He was a contradiction of what was typical for a Roman soldier. And it comes in and it says in verse 3, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had an open vision and saw the angel of God appear right in front of him, calling out his name, Cornelius. Startled, he was overcome with fear by the sight of the angel, and he asked, "What do you want, Lord?" I find that pretty amazing, too. You know, a lot of us, myself included at times, might have been rebuking and saying, you know, boy, what is this? You know, all that. But he's like, "What do you want, Lord?" And the angel said, "All of your prayers and your generosity to the poor have ascended before God as an eternal offering." So often we don't think about our prayers as being an offering to the Lord. I think we all struggle sometimes of, do my prayers make a difference? Do they make a difference? Do they have weight? Do they have substance? Does it have significance in heaven? In this scripture right here, it says that they do. And the Lord said, man, the angel said that the Lord's heard you. He says, now send some men to Joppa at once. Have them find a man named Simon the Rock who is staying as a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. James, you're talking about Peter and how he failed and how God still loved him and God was still there and all of that. This is almost a Hebrews 11 moment where he's like, Simon the Rock. He didn't say, you know, Simon. He said, Simon the Rock. That's how he refers to him. And that's one thing I love about Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, but the way that God's point of view, you know, God's viewpoint on this, and he looks at all these people of great champions of faith, and I'm like, man, I remember when Abraham was messing up. I remember when Sarah was laughing and all of this stuff, and he talks about them from his point of view. They're amazing champions of faith. And so he said, you go and you see Simon the Rock, who's staying as a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. After the angel left, Cornelius called for two of his servants and a trusted godly soldier who was his personal attaché. A trusted godly soldier who was his personal attaché. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but that's just, I highlighted that in my Bible. You know who probably led him to the Lord was, I bet it would be a safe bet that Cornelius was one. That he looked at his life and he was invited into what made him tick, into his interior world, and he came to faith too. Or maybe this guy led Cornelius to the Lord. I don't know, but one of them I feel like they were very influential on each other. But God made note that this was a godly soldier who was his personal attaché. He explained to them everything that had just happened and sent them off to Joppa. Then it comes in and we see Peter in his trance and having a sheep vision. And in verses 9 through 20, and I'm not, for sake of time, I'm not going to read all of those, but in that vision, Peter was on the roof and he was praying and he was meditating, and the Lord showed him the vision of the sheep that came down and all the things that were unclean according to the Jewish dietary laws. And he says, now go take these and prepare to eat. And he showed it to him three times, because once, you know, it's three times. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And Peter's like, Lord, I can't do that. I've never broken the dietary laws in my life. And he says, anything that I've made, don't call it unclean. And he was setting him up for what was about to happen with the Gentiles. It wasn't about him getting to eat catfish and shrimp. Okay? although maybe later on he did enjoy some of that because it's some good stuff. But he was setting him up for the Gentiles. He was setting him up to receive those that were outside the original covenant that he was about to reach out and touch and pour his spirit upon. And so he set him up for this. And then verse 21, it says, Peter went downstairs to the men and said, I believe I'm the one you're looking for. What brings you here? They answered, we serve Cornelius, a Roman military captain who sent us to find you. He's a devout man of the highest integrity who worships God and is respected throughout the Jewish community. He was divinely instructed through the appearance of an angel to summon you to his home and to listen to the message that you would bring him. Peter invited them to stay for the night as his guest. I find verse 23 almost humorous. It wasn't his house. That'd be me like me eating dinner over at Brett's house and some guys come in and say, hey, man, y'all spend the night if you want to. It's my guest. But here's what I'll say about this was Peter totally understood that no matter where he was always hosting. And I want you to understand that wherever you are always from the posture of hosting. And what did we say about hosting a while ago? It's inviting people into your interior world. When I go into somebody else's house, I'm in host mode. We'll see this with Peter and Cornelius' house. I try to always, Lord, we always try to stay in host mode. How can I facilitate? Not just facilitate, but how can I open up my interior world to you? And what does my interior world look like? It's going to be driven by peace, love, hope, joy. Those are the things. That's what my interior world looks like. That's what it looks like. And so when you come in or when I come into your place, I'm hosting that and I'm hosting you. And Peter stayed in host mode. And God, y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? God wants us to stay in host mode because everywhere Jesus went, what was Jesus doing? He was hosting. When he was in Samaria, he was sitting by the well. And the woman came out, the Samaritan woman came out, Saint Flotini, who she would later become. Who was hosting? He was in her village sitting by a well and he hosted her, right? When they brought the woman and threw her at Jesus' feet, what was he doing? He was hosting her. He was opening up his interior world. Are y'all getting this? He was opening up his interior world then, wherever he went. It did not matter geography. It did not matter location. It did not matter ownership of the home. He came in and he hosted. And that wasn't overriding Brett's authority if I'm in his house or anything like that. But I'm going to come in. I'm going to be in host mode for everyone that's there. And if it's Trevor, I'm going to host Trevor because I'm going to open up my interior world. I'm going to open up my interior world. You know, to look and say, well, you know, this, and this. You know, I've had people look at us, and we've been doing business stuff, and, you know, I've had people come up to me at bike rallies and all of that stuff, and they're like, you know, is this y'all's business? Yeah, we own the business and all that. Man, that's what I want and all that. No, what I've got is what you want, and it's not KST. It's not a manufacturing company. It's not a farm. It's not a house. What I've got is what you want. And that's what's in my interior world. And that's love, hope, joy, peace in Christ with those around me. And that's what we're hosting, guys. And we come in and we say, well, man, I don't know how to host. And we're thinking in our mind, I don't know how to cook. So I don't invite people into my home. You know, I think a lot of times we're too lazy to host. Because I don't want to go through the effort and I don't want to, you know, have to clean up my house and do this and this and this. And we don't host from a natural standpoint. And then we'll come in and we won't host from a inner world standpoint because we don't think we have anything to offer them. And if you are loved and if you are smitten by Christ, if you are in Him, you have exactly what others need. You have exactly what they need. I remember the first time that we went into, her name's slipping my mind, she helps cook at Tasate now. Huh? Yeah, Caroline. The first time we went into her home, it was our very first mission trip down there. And she, her home has been very much upgraded in the last couple years. But the first time we went in her home, it was probably, if not the poorest home in the community, it was probably the second poorest home in the community. And we came to bring her stuff. We brought her food and all of that. And of course, she met us at the door with a smile on her face. And she invited us into her home. And she said, "It's not much, but you're welcome here." And we came in, and it, Scott, I think you might have been with us, brother. It rocked my world. And I'm like, she's rich in ways that maybe she does understand she's rich, but she is rich in things that far surpass what her material possessions are. And she didn't invite us into her little adobe home. She invited us into her inner world. Because we went in there to bless her with beans and rice and stuff like that and to pray over her. And she said, "I want to pray over y'all." And she prayed over us. And I walked out blessed because she hosted me well into her inner world. I came with stuff. And stuff's okay, guys. But if stuff doesn't have the... if it doesn't have the inner world, if it doesn't have the power and the substance of who Christ is, right? Y'all getting it? I'm hoping this is making some traction in your lives. Our interior world. So Peter invited him to stay for the night as his guest, host mode. The next morning they departed, accompanied by some of the believers from Joppa. The next day they arrived in Caesarea, where Cornelius was waiting anxiously for them and had gathered together all of his relatives and close friends. The moment Peter walked in the door, Cornelius fell at his feet to worship him. But Peter pulled him to his feet and said, "Stand up, for I'm only a man and no different from you." They talked together and then went inside, where Peter found a large gathering waiting to hear his words. I'm going to read one more verse in this, and I just want to talk about this for a few minutes. Down in verse 33, Cornelius was telling about why he had asked Peter to come, or why the Lord told him, you know, what had precipitated him coming in. And the word from the angel said, "Send for him." And in, he says in verse 33, "And now here we are, all of us in God's presence, anxious to hear the message that God has put into your heart to share with us." That was that expectation I talked about earlier. And then Peter came in, and Peter began to preach the gospel. I love the beauty of the story that Peter does not even get through with his sermon. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit falls on all these Gentiles. I mean, they're getting wrecked in the Holy Spirit so much, so visible and so real is that all the Jewish believers are in amazement that came from Joppa. They're sitting there and their mind is blown. And Peter's like, "What keeps these guys from getting baptized? They got the same stuff that we got. They got the same stuff that we got." And so it's a beautiful story, and this was the Gentile Pentecost, if you will. But what I want us to think about and ask ourselves in this, who was the real host in this? Was it Peter or was it Cornelius? And I think definitely the answer is yes, because here's what happened. Peter came and he hosted Cornelius in Cornelius' own house, with his inner world, with his interior world. And Peter's interior world looked like this beautiful, fire-driven mandate from God to share this gospel to the entire world. It was a thing that he was, I'm pursuing the thing that pursued me and captured me. But that was his driving force. That was his thing that Jesus gave him this mandate to go into the world and release the true gospel to the world, to set the captives free, to preach the good news, to tell them about my love and my acceptance and who I am, and that I am the Messiah. I'm the one, you know, I found the one. You know, when John came, he says, I found the one we've been looking for. I think it was actually Andrew that said that. I found the one that we're looking for. And that was the innermost world, the interior world of Peter, was to share this, because I have been captured by his love, and my mandate in life is to release that. And so he came in and he hosted everybody who was there into his interior world. Cornelius' interior world looked like, I'm here with faith and expectation, and I know God's about to do something. And so he hosted Peter in a place of faith, in a place of belief, in a place that God is going to continue to do more in my life, and I'm going to receive that. And so he hosted Peter from that place. And when those two collided, something amazing happened. That's the thing about our faith colliding, guys, and when, you know, the iron sharpening iron and all of that stuff, is when we host with our interior worlds. When we host with our interior worlds, we come in and we take off the, you know, what am I going to cook and what am I going to, activities am I going to do and all that. You didn't care about any of that stuff, did you? It didn't matter. You probably don't even remember what I cooked or what you ate, other than the churros. But everything else, it's like, I don't know. I just remember how I felt when I looked at the majesty of God's beauty, when I felt the love from him that he created this world for us. That's what you remember. That's God revealing his interior world to us. And I see this in this story, and it is awesome, because these guys are in two different places. Amanda, it's not like we've all got to be Peter, where we're like this mighty man of God with this mandate, and I'm a man to the rock, and I've got this burning message and all of this stuff. But it's coming in and said, man, I'm somebody that's just conquered by his love. I'm amazed that I'm invited to his feast. And I had enough about me. I said yes to his feast. And so now I'm in this relationship with God. And you don't have to be God's woman of power for the hour, you know? But my interior world looks like peace, and it looks like rest, and it looks like hope, and it looks like love. And that's how you host the world. That's how I host the world. We think we got to be Peter, but Cornelius hosted just as well as Peter did. He invited friends. He invited family. I believe through his life, many of them were already believers. Maybe some of them weren't, but they were after that day. And that's how he hosted, man. You don't have to be... You can't host from her interior world. You host from your interior world. And when we withhold our testimony, then we're robbing the world of our interior world. That's why the word says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. Because there's people that are going through hurts that you've been through. And when you open up your interior world and you host them, then it gives them hope. They're like, man, if he made it through this, then it gives me hope that I can make it through this. God didn't forsake him, so I don't think God's going to forsake me. That's the beauty of hosting, guys. I could host when I lived in a single wide trailer. I didn't have good sense on how to host them, but I could have. I could host from a place of brokenness because his love came in and touched that brokenness. See, our life's really a mosaic, man, of all of these, you know, the broken pieces of glass and all that have been brought together and turned into something beautiful. And that's what our interior world, that the world needs to see. They don't need to see Facebook Krista and Instagram Krista. They need to see your interior world. I'm not saying we can't show our interior world. We can, but we can do that at a distance. They'll forget what you said, and they'll forget what you did, but they won't forget how you made them feel. And there has to be a close proximity from that. We want to love from afar, and we want to have relationships from afar, and we want to, you know, limit how much we put ourselves out there, because we're like, man, I'll get hurt. Yeah, you will. But I promise you this, His love will put it back together. If any of you have been in church for over 6 months, you've probably been hurt at some point. 6 years, much less 30-something years. But it's from that place of He comes in and He touches and He heals. And He's there when we're indifferent. He's there when we're not chasing Him. He's still, you know, we may lose fascination with Him, but He never loses fascination with us. Until we come back around. And He's patient and He's kind. So we're in host mode from an interior world. I want to read this to you. I wrote these notes in my Bible. What is hosting? I believe that it is giving people access to our interior world, opening our lives so that they can see and feel the reason for our hope, joy, peace, and love. Jesus hosted the world. Jesus hosted the world. What was Jesus' whole thing? People come to me. Little children, the disciples, like, man, these. Bartimaeus, everybody's like, quit shouting. Good golly, man. We're going somewhere. And Jesus hosted him. He hosted all of them. Whether it was a religious leader like Nicodemus coming to him at night, or a tax collector like Matthew or Zacchaeus, he hosted all of them. When I think about Jesus, I just think about all the... How many of us have seen the movies on Santa Claus and all the kids, man, you know, they know it's Santa Claus and they're just attracted to him and they're going to come to him? Well, that's a mythical version of what Jesus and the way the children were attracted to him. The little children just wanted to be around him. They just wanted to be near him. They weren't looking for something. Do you hear that? Jesus said, y'all hanging around because I multiplied bread and fish. Because I healed the sick. But the reason we come to him in childlike, they just wanted to come to him and be around him because of his interior world that he was opening up to them. Jesus hosted the world. Jesus hosted the world. And then I put the only way that we can truly change the world is by hosting the world. The only way we can truly change the world is by hosting the world. By opening up our interior world. So I want to ask you two things this morning. What does your interior world look like? What does your interior world look like? It's not stuff, career, and all that. What makes Brett House tick? Who are you? You know, it's funny, you talk, and if you're sitting on a plane or something and you're talking to two men, you know what? The first thing they ask is, well, what do you do? They want to know about your career. If it's two women, they want to know about your family. You married? Got any kids? Tell me about your kids. Tell me about your grandkids. We got grandkids and all that, right? Am I right? neither one of those is accurate about who we really are. He gives a snapshot of our life. So I really want to, what makes you go? What makes you go? Brett, are you in a better mood this morning because Georgia won 30-15 or 31-15, whatever it was, or if it had been flip-flop, you know? Or is Rhett in a worse mood because Alabama, you know, had 18 turnovers and got beat by Tennessee? Is Cindy's in a great mood? She wore Tennessee orange this morning. That's not our interior world. As much as we try, I know people, and I don't think they own a stitch of clothing that doesn't have something about Georgia on it. Nick didn't wear it. He ain't got nothing on with Georgia. I like it, man. I'm digging it. Nothing wrong with that. But you know what I'm saying? That's not a true picture of what your interior world is. What I'm passionate about or all of that. Your interior world is what makes Ashley Steele, Ashley Steele. Because it's not career. When I first think about you, I think about kindness. I mean, I do. I'm like, man, that girl is sweet. I mean, she just, you ooze that. That's your interior world more so than accomplishments or stuff or even how many kids you have or married or anything like that. That's who you are. That's who you are. And what does our interior world look like? Because that's how we host. That's how we host. From that place. Because that's where Jesus hosted from. Come unto me all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is easy and light. That's his interior world. So the first question I have is, what is your interior world look like? And maybe it goes back to what James was talking about and what Brett was talking about. Is maybe we need to come into this place where it starts with being loved by him. Being smitten by him. Everything else flows out of that, guys. Everything about Peter flowed out of that place. Everything about Cornelius flowed out of that place. So what does our interior world look like? And the second thing I want to leave you with this morning is, are you hosting the world from that place, or is that place locked down like a vault? Is it hidden? Is it circle the wagon so it doesn't get hurt again? That's the biggest challenge for someone that's gone through divorce, is opening themselves up to be loved again, to receiving love. I mean, you would speak truth to that. We've had that conversation before, Sandy. It's not a mystery. It's opening my interior world up to somebody again. And maybe I'll try to help somebody or try to minister to somebody, and it went south. And we're like, man, I don't want to put myself out. How many times have we said, I'm just not going to put myself out there anymore? The only way you can host is from your interior world. The only way you can truly host. Let's talk about Trail of Treats. Saturday, you know what we can do? We can come in and we can check all the boxes. Or we can come in and we can hear the laughter of children through the woods in a place of safety and peace. So you know, we come in and the thing that we're putting out there, you know what our currency is? It's love and peace. And a lot of these people that show up, they're never going to come to church here. They might not go anywhere, but they feel something that feels familiar. The children feel something that feels familiar. Aaliyah hosted, every year they do a pumpkin painting thing. Some of you may have been there last night. I don't know, but they do a pumpkin painting for the kids. You know, they come in, Leah likes to host, and, they paint their pumpkins, and then they'll have a dinner, and they'll play and all of that stuff. And I was outside last night. It was after dark. And I told Lori, I was laughing. I was cooking outside on the grill, and I told Lori, I said, to start with, I thought a pack of hyenas was eating one of our calves. And then I realized it was all these feral children out there. And you know what they were doing? They were laughing and giggling and screaming. I could hear it all the way at my house. You know, I know Sydney Hannah's all 13 and grown up, teenager and all that, but I could hear her. And I love the fact that she can still squeal and laugh and giggle like a little child. And the Lord allowed me to hear her voice above some of the other Cindy. And here's my thing, is nobody had to tell them how to be that way. You know what they were doing? They were all hosting from their interior world, and it sounded like joy. It sounded like peace. It sounded like safety, and it sounded like love. And when we start to host from that place, it'll make a sound that not only would the world hear it, but it will be a familiar. We talk about the hole in our heart that only God can fill. There's something about when His peace and His love and His presence comes on the scene. There's a familiar, we say, well, I've not experienced that, but there's a familiar with your spirit, man. It feels familiar. The day I got saved, it felt familiar. It felt right. Because there was that deep calling out to deep. Because God created us with that. God created the world with that. God created the Muslims with that, and the Hindus with that, and the atheist with that, and the agnostic with that. And there is something in them that when deep calls out to deep, it will be a familiar something that will be a drawing and attractive to them. And it's not my American version of the gospel that you got to believe just like me. You have to believe in Jesus. That's the common thing. But it's His love that's going to penetrate. It's His love that penetrates. So, are we hosting from that place? Are we hosting from that place? I get cracked up as I drive across the country and I go through these places. And me and Lori came a back way this time. We were going through the Missouri Bible Belt because, golly, it felt like the Bible Belt, rural Missouri. And a lot of it was awesome and it felt good and it felt right. And then you'd see some of it and they'd have these signs and they were religious signs and it was all of this, you know, and it's kind of like turn or burn, KJV and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I'm not feeling the Jesus' interior world. And I've got King James Version I study out of and got more notes in it than I do any other Bible. But I also love that right there because I find His interior world in that. And so what's the heart behind our interior world that we're opening up to the world? Are you hosting the world? Everybody in here, ask yourself the question, am I hosting the world with my interior world? Not with my fake life or the life that I want to paint and say, this is my life. You know, all the pictures we put on Facebook and Instagram and all that good stuff. But am I hosting the world with my interior world? I can invite Matt and Michelle to come to my house, and I can cook them a nice dinner, and we can hang out, and we can talk about stuff, and we can laugh, and we can have a good time. But am I hosting from my interior world? Because that's the one that makes a difference. That's the one that makes a difference. We got to live from that place, guys, because that's where Jesus lived from. That's where Jesus lived from. Amen? All right, let's stand on our feet. Is it scary? Yeah. I believe what Peter did in this scripture was, it was real, but it was symbolic also. From the standpoint of when the soldier and the servants came to Simon the Tanner's house, he didn't go ask Simon the Tanner, hey, I think it'd be a great idea if those guys, you know, stayed. I mean, they're Gentiles, man. He didn't say, are you cool with this? He went for it. He said, y'all stay here with us as our guest. Let me host you. My point in that, he wasn't playing it safe. Doggone it, quit playing it safe. Judah, I guarantee you you're going to get hurt. I guarantee you when you go through life and you host from your interior world, you will get hurt. But I also guarantee you that the balm of Gilead will come in and it'll touch that place of hurt. It'll touch the pain. It'll touch the disappointment. And he'll come and he'll be more to you in that than he was if everything was just... I love the story of the Good Samaritan. He didn't just pay money for him to stay at the inn. He came in and the word said that he bound up his wounds. He put oil on his wounds, healing oils on his wounds. And he put him on his own donkey and he carried him to the inn. What we want to do is we want to send money to the inn. And that's okay sometimes, but that's not everything. And the Lord comes into those places going along exactly with what you said and what you said this morning. I promise you, when you don't play it safe, you're going to get hurt. But oh, what a Savior that loves us, that will come in and touch us. So, arms wide open. Welcome to my interior world. That's what the Lord said. This is who I am. I'm going to close with this. I know I'm dragging it. I'm sorry. I hadn't preached in 3 weeks. Y'all got to give me a little grace this morning. I remember when the girls were little, we carried them to a DC Talk concert. I can't tell you one song that they sang. I can't tell you anything about that concert and the fact it was in the old Omni. But there was a point in time when all the lights came on one spot and they had this thing on the stage and it was three couches or two couches and a chair or something like that. And everything got quiet. And Toby Mac said, "Welcome to our living room." He said, "Welcome to our living room." And he began to just play softly on an acoustic guitar and began to worship the Lord. I don't remember what he played, but I remember how I felt. It was a moment in a crowd of 10,000 people where I felt intimacy with the Lord. It was an invitation from the Lord to come into a place where he said, "Welcome into my world. Welcome into my world. I know there's chaos all around, but there's peace in this place." There's peace in this place. There's peace in that place, Jesse. There's peace in that place. He says, "Welcome into my living room." And that's what we need. But that's what the world needs also. That's what they need as a coach. Technique's great. Winning's great. But they need your interior world, Nick White. The thing that says, "I'm going to choose to make less in a career so I can coach kids instead of going out in the business world." They need your interior world. They need your interior world. My kid Lisa, she's been getting a little press, some press lately. She said, "Oh Lord, don't go there." Well deserved. Great accomplishment. But the thing that has impressed me through the years, Lisa, is not your ability as a coach. It's your interior world. That's what touches those kids. It's not your prowess in a batting cage. It's your interior world. It's your interior world. Amen. All right, let's pray. Open your heart up to receive from him right now. Father, I pray that we would say yes to your invitation. The invitation into your interior world. That we would come in and we would feel the familiarity of it. Our soul's recognition of its origin in you. And that's a place of peace, and that's a place of rest. And I pray that that would be our interior world, the place that we live from, the place that we flow from, the place that we do life from. And I pray for everyone in here this morning, Father, that they would open up their lives and they would host from that place. They would host the world just like you hosted the world from that place. Give us the courage to do so. Give us the faith to do so. Give us the love to do so. Heidi Baker says, compelled by love. Compelled by love. And I pray that we would be so smitten by your love that we would be compelled to open up and show that to the world. To give that, to freely give that to the world. Lord, when you sent the 70 out, you said, freely you have received, so freely give. I pray that would be us, Lord. I pray that would be us. Our interior world. Let it become one with your interior world, Lord. Let it look like your interior world. Let it be your interior world, Father. We just pray this. We ask this. We believe this. In Jesus' name. Our wonderful Savior. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Man. Everybody good this morning? Everybody good? Y'all have a blessed week. Remember youth tonight at the Tollesons. What's next Saturday night, everybody? Trail of Treats. All right. All right. Let's let it be amazing, okay? Love you guys.